In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems next to impossible to me that it's 25 years ago that as a young pastor I attended a conference, almost 25 years ago, a conference that was all about managing things, managing life, managing time, managing other people. The reason I bring it up is because at the beginning of that two-day conference, they asked for volunteers that would be willing to open their lives to examination. I was not one of those volunteers. But the two things they asked of those volunteers, if they were willing to fork over, first of all, something I'm sure is familiar to all of us, their checkbooks, and then secondly, their daytimers. Remember what the daytimer was and the daytimer corporation was all about? It was this little leather-bound tool for your pocket that had interchangeable months in it that you would place in there, and you could keep all of your accounts and all of your appointments and everything about your life all organized in one little place. Sounds kind of quaint, doesn't it? Obviously, it was pen on paper, which has been replaced by everything on our smartphones or our iPhones. But the reason I share that with you is the fascinating result of that little exercise. Later in the first day of that conference, they built small group discussions around each of the people that were willing to offer up to them their checkbooks and their schedules. And they offered, through their examination and their review, kind of a portrait sketch of the life and the personality of the person that was examined, just on the basis of how they spent their time and they spent their money. Now, what was particularly fascinating about the result was, at least in the sessions that I was familiar with, the person at the center of the review was amazed at how little time they actually spent with family compared to what they thought they were doing. And the second thing that was a common surprise to just about everyone who went through that examination was how much money they were spending on what everybody would agree were their bad habits. And how accumulating those resources that were being spent on those bad habits could impact long-term other elements of their lives if they could overcome those bad habits, that junk food or those cigarettes or whatever else that was being labeled as a bad habit as a result of that review. What about you? If somebody were to take right now your iPhone and your online bank account records and do an examination of that nature, what would they find out about you? What are the priorities of your life? What are the habits that are familiar and not something you'd want the whole world to know, that are actually easing money out of your pockets that you know would be better spent in other ways? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Your Heavenly Father this morning is asking you a little bit different question from the Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy that He places in front of you. He's asking the question, if you were to examine your life in exactly the same way, and particularly His interests, how about the time you spend with Him? How about the ways you use your resources to His glory and the furthering of His kingdom? Is God and His Word the priority of your life the way that God intends? The way that God had clearly intended long before Moses wrote these words. You think back to the Garden of Eden. You think back to God's creating activity and how on the seventh day He rested from His work. How God established in time itself, in the succession of the days on the calendar, a day that He intended to be set aside completely for rest and recharging the batteries. 1/7 of all human time focused on that leads us to ask the question, what does He mean by rest? That sounds a little bit out of sync with the way we live our lives today. Well, if you hear that word rest, and you hear echoing in the background a statement of Jesus from the Gospels, particularly Matthew chapter 6, where He says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you connect it to the concept of rest, Sabbath rest in the Old Testament. You come to the realization that throughout Scripture there is a regular drumbeat of instruction and guidance into regard to what God intends with this idea of rest. Connection to Him. A connection to His Word and His sacraments. Time spent prioritizing Him and His Word in a way that connects us to the forgiveness, the release from the burden of our guilt and all of the other ways that we are broken, that challenge us, that wear us down and weary us and burden us. And particularly then also the promises that He gives us regarding a reality in our future that He alone can provide us, that is an escape from this broken world and its unhappiness and its burdens. It's beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, but clearly within our grasp if we are connected to Him, if God and His Word are the priority of our lives. Moses here was speaking to the Israelites in his farewell instruction session. It's a lengthy one. It took a couple of days to get it accomplished. But what Moses was doing here in Deuteronomy was leaving his last will and testament in regard to the spiritual life of Israel. And he covers back over a number of things in commentary and in detail that he had already given to them in the books of Exodus and Leviticus as well. Remember how the children of Israel had escaped by God's intervening power from slavery after 400 plus years of slavery in Egypt through God sending plagues, especially that last plague, the mighty plague of death for the firstborn of household and barn, and had given the children of Israel the Passover meal and all of its details to save them by their demonstrating their trust and faith by following His direction. And then over the course of a month or two, He led them through the Red Sea out to Mount Sinai. It was there at Mount Sinai that they stood at the foot of the mountain and they heard God speak with His own voice, and it was too much for them to bear. And so they pleaded with Moses that he would go up the mountain, that he would hear all of God's directive and then would come down and relay it to them. And so that's how it played out. In Exodus, you have God laying out His will, His specific Ten Commandments and their application, but then also all kinds of details about the covenant that He was making with His Old Testament people. He gave them very specific instruction regarding their civil law and certainly the moral law that still applies to us today, but even more importantly, in our examination for this purpose, their ceremonial law, their worship life, how they were to treat the Sabbath and what were to be the activities of the Sabbath day, but then also that cycle through a year's worth of high festival days, all of their sacrifices, all of their processes that they would go through as God was leading them through a year-by-year journey toward the outcome of all of His promises, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah, for the sins of the world, as the one who would stand in the temple, God in person, speaking for God, and then through rejection, a sacrificial death, and resurrection as payment and victory for all the people of the world. We have all kinds of details in Old Testament and New that help us understand what we're talking about here when God speaks of rest and the priority of our resting in Him. And you and I, as New Testament Christians, living in this day and age, say, whole day is just not going to happen. And that's okay. God does not require that of us. Those activities mandated of Old Testament believers are clearly labeled in the New Testament as things that Jesus has fulfilled for us. And in that conversation of His fulfilling the law in our place and freeing us and releasing us from all of those mandates, there is specific mention of Sabbath days and festival days and all of the rest, as things we're freed from to now respond of our own choosing, of our own desiring, in response to everything Christ has done for us, the love that He's shown us, the victory that He's won for us, And so now in the New Testament era, what we're really talking about here in these words of Moses is all about attitude. It's all about priority. It's all about understanding that we have even more reason to make God and His Word the priority of our lives, because all that we know that God has done for us, because we know what the rest He speaks of here actually means to us. We live such fractured lives, such busy lives, such challenged lives in so many ways. The myriad realities of our challenges, our temptations, should blow our minds, because they certainly would blow the minds of most of the people that have lived in this world and throughout history. The pace of life, the reach of our lives into the lives of others. I mean, Paul said it in Romans all those years ago, that every single day human beings invent new ways to sin. Well, you think about 2,000 years of history of invention of sin, and then you think about the pace of invention of sin, how all these good and wonderful things that are medical and technological that bless our lives are also vehicles for us to potentially go off track and veer off of what God's will is, or maybe even live in open rebellion of His clear will. It's a challenge, isn't it? And so to be honest and to feel the heat of God's examination of these words, we have to admit that one of the biggest challenges of our lives is to make God and His Word the priority, as Moses encourages it here. But you know what? That's already been paid for and forgiven in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What do I mean? Think about what you know about Jesus and His worship life and His attitude towards the Word as it's revealed to us in the Gospels. This is God wearing our human flesh. This is God who is one of us, the Word itself, incarnate, living amongst human beings. And there is absolutely no doubt that every single day of His life, without exception, God's Word and a relationship with God is His highest priority. Meditation, prayer, listening to the Word, and every single week, every single Sabbath day, every single Saturday, He's in the synagogue, and if it's a festival day, He's at the temple, weaving together for you and me a perfect life of obedience from conception to death in regard to this third commandment, in regard to this priority that God and His Word need to be in our lives, so that every time you and I come up against the truth of God's Word and realize just how awfully we fail to live what God has placed in front of us here, Jesus says, here's righteous acts of obedience to cover that. To cover that specific sin. Your sins against the third commandment are sins covered by my life and my bloody sacrifice. I have been perfect in regard to this priority for you. It's done. It's paid for. And here's another reason to celebrate. Another motivation to make it a priority in your life as well. The reality of our lives, the challenges of living our faith, the brokenness that God's Word reveals to us, each and every one of us, could so easily overwhelm us. That is a temptation. But God offers us His Word. And through that Word, He has guided and inspired other human beings to speak for us in hymns and in prayers in ways that connect us in our moment in history to the Word in a prioritized way. I would encourage you from time to time, maybe even once a day if you can manage it, to open a red hymnal, a Christian worship that's in these pews, and hopefully you have one at home, to page 10 at the front of the hymnal. I believe you will find there in the personal prayers and preparation for worship a prayer for peace, for rest, that will speak from your heart to God's ears exactly what Moses is talking about in these verses. Listen to this prayer. O God of peace, I turn aside from an unquiet world, seeking rest for my spirit and light for my thoughts. I bring my work to be sanctified, my wounds to be healed, my sins to be forgiven, my hopes to be renewed. In you there is perfect harmony. Draw me to yourself and silence the discords of my wasteful life. Your greatness is beyond my highest praise. Take me out of the loneliness of self and fill me with the fullness of your peace. There's only one way that happens, and that's you and I connecting to God through his word. There's only one way that that overwhelms our lives and is our constant companion, no matter the challenge, no matter the sorrow or the loss or the victory of the moment, and that is spending time, prioritize time with God and his word. The only way that happens is when you and I gather on Sundays like this, when that word makes that bread and wine his body and blood for our forgiveness and our strengthening, and makes that washing a washing of new life, of forgiveness, of sin, of adoption into God's family. You and I hear so many voices. We turn on the television, we search on the internet, we hear the people on the street corner, the people that knock on our front door, all offering us philosophies and life management systems and even what some would consider to be a message from God. But if it only burdens you, if it only causes more questions, if it only causes you to believe somehow you've got to be better to make God happy with you, and so only creates more weariness, more uncertainty, it is not from God. When God speaks to us through his word and through his sacraments, he always offers us rest, always offers us answers in which his righteousness is given to us through Christ's death and resurrection. And his promise of eternal life with him is made only more certain so that you and I respond with lives of service and praise and lives that make God and his word the priority. Oh yes, we're challenged. And yes, we know the struggle of day-to-day reality of playing out what Moses instructs for us here. We can make excuses, we can give explanations. But the reality is we each have to ask ourselves the question. What does any other person or any other pursuit of life or any possession offer me that's better than what God has clearly told me in his word? Can't come up with anything. When you and I think through all that God has done for us, the forgiveness, the unconditional love, and the promises of peace and eternity that are clearly ours through his word and through our connection to him that he has initiated through his word and his spirit and his sacraments, all directed to us to win us and woo us and give us all of those blessings. There's really only one question left. Why in the world wouldn't I make God and his word the priority of my life? Amen. Please stand. I grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.